This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by Bluehost, a great hosting provider for your blog or website. Just $6.95 per month and lots of features and great support. Go check it out at sqpn.com/bluehost. And by the Amazon store. Click on the link on our website before you shop at Amazon, and our website is onceuponatime.sqpn.com, and your purchase will help support our show.
The Wicked Witch. Everyone in town's talking about it. Have you found out anything more about her?
No. And I'm cooped up here while everyone else is out there working hard to find her.
Hey. No one is working as hard as you are right now. I mean, you're creating a whole new person. Now drink up.
Right.
Works every time.
You're amazing.
Your little prince or princess could be here any day. I am not letting you have this baby without me.
Snow White drinks the orange juice and the baby is alive. Welcome to episode number 61, season 3, episode 15 of Once Upon a Time called Quiet Minds. And today I'm going to talk about my co-host Shelley Kelly Ingelodz and David Andlos. Good day to you all. Sorry, I'm in a very Lumiere kind of mood. Hope everyone is doing all right. We're going to talk about episode 15, as I said, of season 3. Sorry about the really, really bad joke. Well,
I had to laugh so hard I had to mute it.
So, this is the first time we see Lumiere in the Once Upon a Time incarnation. You know, it's one of my favorite animated movies by Disney, Belle and the Beast. And the songs featuring Lumiere are always on my, you know, playlist in Spotify. So, be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test.
But the million-dollar question, Father, was how was the CGI for you?
It was very fiery. Actually, it wasn't too bad. I mean, I kind of like the solution of, you know, not having a moving a candle holder, but doing the kind of the face in the flames. It kind of reminded me a bit of Harry Potter. And the way they do that with the fire and, well, whatever. And actually, the special effect that I really thought was great was the black goo and then the sudden face changes. That was quite impressive. But before we talk about special effects, let's talk about this episode. And as usual, I would like to have your general assessment of this episode. How would you rate it? Let's start with Inge.
I wasn't too hot about this episode. I was like, oh, Neil's dead again. You know, how many times can people die in this series? So I would give it like 5.5 out of 10.
Okay. That's not a lot, but we'll talk about it. What about you, David?
Well, I'm going to rate it higher. I didn't like the fact that Neil died, but I like the fact that, I'll just say this was a very sad episode, and the fact that they can pull me in and make me feel sad about that says something about the writing, I think. So I'll still give it a 7.
All right. And what about you, Shelley?
I had to look and make sure I wasn't muted still. 8.5.
Wow.
I liked it. I liked
it. You actually watched it twice, didn't you?
I didn't like it the first time I saw it, but then I thought about it, and it stuck with me. And then I decided I really liked it. I liked they're going with the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Is there one highlight, one moment in this episode that you particularly liked?
Yes, Regina and Robin Hood.
Uh-huh.
That whole scene in there with the whiskey and the and searching the, oh my gosh. That I rewound that and watched it twice.
Romance in the life
so
of Regina.
Powerful. And to get Regina in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was like first season all over again.
All right. Well, I've got some mixed feelings about this episode. There were some very good moments and some great acting, as well as some very bad moments where I didn't think it worked and something seemed to be wrong. And almost as if they had shot this on in very different times and they kind of patched it together, but it didn't really fit. I don't know. I really... mixed moments. So, and story-wise, what you said, David, I concur. It was very sad, very dark, but in a kind of somber way. And I did not expect Neil to die like this. And now, and I don't know if this is for good. That's kind of the problem with bringing everyone back as long as they've made a sacrifice. It now makes me wonder... okay, so is this just for one episode or for two episodes? When will he be back? And it diminishes the emotional impact. Although I thought that the scenes were really well acted. But yeah, I don't know. Did anyone look at the, let's say, at IMDb?
He's still listed in the cast.
He's still listed. That kind of makes
sense. I'm sure he'll be there for flashbacks every time they go back to Enchanted Forest.
I would say it would really diminish his sacrifice if he would come back yet again. But I thought the same about Rumpel. But Neil is a bit superfluous almost. There are so many potential fathers in this series that you don't really need Neil. His story arc seems to be over.
Yeah, and if he got rid of Rumpel, it would just be, I mean, yeah, he made a great sacrifice, but he's just fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's hard not to have him.
Shelley?
Emma didn't kiss him.
And?
Why didn't Emma kiss him? I kept waiting for Emma to kiss him. True love's kiss.
Oh.
She didn't kiss him, so that's when I knew they were done with him.
Well, and she's still in love with that monkey, or at least with the memory of that monkey.
She didn't even try. No, that was the only point that had me screaming at the TV was, kiss him, kiss him, kiss him, kiss him. And Rumpel kissed his hand. But Emma didn't try to kiss him, and so she separated him. She gave him his sacrifice, and it was Neil putting his son before the safety and security of his son before his own life.
Yes.
So it was a true sacrifice, and I was amazed at the parallel with the season one episode Desperate Souls.
Oh, really? Tell me about it.
Well, okay. So in Desperate Souls, the key points to that one were never underestimate someone who's acting for their child, you know, to protect their child. And Rumpel consistently is wanting to protect Bay. And that's why he becomes the Dark One, is to protect Bay. Remember, he's the coward. And they're going to come and take Bay away for the Ogre Wars. And in that episode also, Hordor... Who is the Dark One?
Mm-hmm.
He says he recognizes a desperate soul, someone who's searching for hope. Well, in this episode, when Neil says, you know, no, you know, let me go, separate me, and she says, but you'll die. He says, where was it? Thank you, Papa, for showing me what it means to make a true sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's about saving the ones that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other little tidbits as we go through, but... It connected to me that they were mirroring the whole sacrifice issue with Desperate Souls.
That's great.
And letting him go.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that Rumpel, at least in the Enchanted Forest, definitively lets go of the power of darkness by letting go of the dagger. Because he has to choose. There's this moment where the Wicked Witch tells him he can't hold on to both. And he holds on to Neil. Let's go of the dagger. And now by the end of this episode, it all seems to be for nothing. Because he's losing Neil once again. That's why I keep feeling that they might bring him back.
The last time he let go of Neil, he chose the dagger over Neil.
Yes,
so that was
what's
so significant about that moment.
Mm-hmm,
he didn't think about it. He tried.
He
and as soon as she says you can't,
he
just let it go.
Yeah, he did.
He just let it go. As Elena said, I didn't think you had it in you.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure either.
I mean, it's a nice way to wrap up the story.
Something puzzled me when Neil died.
Mm-hmm.
Neil asked, there was a question from what does Selena want? And the very and Rumpel says, the very thing I don't have. So I'm still, they are kind of putting that in our faces, and I'm still wrecking my mind about what is that?
No, we had some feedback on, I think on a website or elsewhere, someone explaining to us, I think it was on Twitter, that, well, it's actually courage. That's what he never had, and that's what she takes away.
So, again, courage.
Yeah, courage. Just courage. Nothing else.
So she's taking courage from Rumpel. She's taking courage from Prince Charming, mm-hmm. who had his sword back all of a sudden, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I noticed he had a sword. Yeah.
That's a good point.
And so I was like, that's also why I gave it 5.5.
Okay.
Neil died again, and mysteriously, the sword of Charming sword is intact again. He's waving around and trying to kill the monkey with it.
Well, we don't know that it was his same sword. He could have gone to Gold Shop and picked up a new one.
Even Luke Skywalker made himself a new lightsaber. They just don't have colors, so that's why you don't notice it's a different sword. No, but this could also be a continuity problem, that they shot the episodes out of order and came up with that whole sword story after they filmed this one.
Now, and when Emma separated Bay and Neil, and she said, what does she want? Mm-hmm. What Rumpel said was what she doesn't have. He never implied it was anything else. He just said what she doesn't have. And the first thing I thought of was the baby.
Yeah.
Well, she keep going back to this baby.
She's definitely after the baby. I mean, that's crystal clear now in this episode. Let's go back to the beginning of the episode. Of course, best beginning of this season ever, because it starts with bacon. Delicious bacon.
Yes.
A very up close bacon.
Yes. I almost felt that this could be a pun to, you know, that did you see the Netflix movie on April the 1st?
Yes. Yeah. Bacon. There's filmed... a bacon and a rotisserie chicken.
Yes. Bacon for 20 minutes, and it's in reverse. So it's crazy. Anyway, there seems to be a lot of bacon in the air all of a sudden. Not that it has any meaning, I think, for the story. And that's where Hook and Neil also seem to bond much more than ever before in this episode. And I think it is because, and it's kind of foretelling, that this is the end for Neil. And so I felt that the writers seem to emphasize this relationship and reminded us of the fact that Hook was the one who was like a father to Neil when they were still in Neverland. And so I don't know. I didn't really notice this bonding before. So they want to bring Rumpel's father back.
It was more prevalent in the first half of the season, mm-hmm. the Hook and Neil relationship, and when they had been together on Neverland. So I thought it was really, really nice mm-hmm. that he stopped and embraced him and said,
yes.
You know, sometimes when I look at you, I see a man, but underneath you're still that boy.
Yeah, that was cool. And again, it's something that you rarely see with Hook, because he seems to have that appearance, that the kind of the facade of the swashbuckling pirate. But here he is truly like a father, and that was moving. But a bit sudden. I remember that from the first half of the season. I mean, they were teaming up. They were more like buddies. But this was much more, you know, a father embracing his son and of course, preparing the death.
And there was also the passing of the torch, so to speak. Because remember, Neil said to him, what's it like to play the hero after being pirate for so long?
Oh,
and
yeah.
He says, true. Unfamiliar. True. How does it feel to play the villain? And Neil's like, oh. I'm the villain now? And that's a play, because we didn't know then that Neil and Rumpel were in the same being. You know, they were basically sharing the same space.
Oh.
So I'm the villain now? It was all these foreshadowings. It was amazing.
Oh,
and he
I
says,
didn't
you know,
notice
to,
that.
To bring your
true.
Father back, I suspect you had to use dark magic and pay an even darker price. But you felt the needs justified the means.
Mm.
And so there was a foreshadowing there, a flip. So
okay.
He's basically passed the torch to Hook. Okay, Hook, you got Emma. You get to be the hero. Go.
Hmm. Excellent.
Yeah, but I was wondering, how does Hook know about all of this?
Well, he's the only one who remembers anything from that time period. He knew that Neil was dead set. No pun intended. Mm-hmm. Dead set on bringing back Rumpel, no matter the cost. I mean, when he was leaving, and that's not something that he probably knows Neil well enough that, you know, he's already got his mindset to it. It's going to happen. And now that, and before he saw Neil, they assumed that Rumpel was back. They'd heard that Rumpel was back. So he was pretty sure that Neil had done something dark.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't it implied that Hook wasn't in the Enchanted Forest for most of the time, and so perhaps he has escaped the spell of that wiped his memory of that year? I don't know.
They haven't implied that the spell that he has his memories. They've only implied that they've been together, or
he has his memories because he explained about that they are landing with Aurora and Prince Philip.
Yeah.
If his memory had been wiped, he wouldn't have known
exactly
about that.
He just doesn't really know what happened in the Enchanted Forest because he wasn't there for most of the time. He was on a ship.
There because of the curse. He's there because he went to go get Emma.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He somehow he was outside of the curse.
Hmm.
But then there's still the question of I know the backstory later, but at some point they'll tell us how he got there when
curse
wasn't.
We need a flashback before the end of the season. Absolutely. Speaking of which, I mean, last time we were speculating about the whole Oz angle here, and we got some more feedback from listeners who told us that the writers have said that this season we won't go to Oz yet. So clearly hinting at a continuation in a fourth season, and that might be much more about Oz. I mean, I can totally see them doing half a season in Oz. If they build all the digital sets to save money. So we won't really see that yet. It's risky because, of course, I haven't heard about the a decision as to the future of this show. We know that Once Upon a Time in Wonderland got canceled after one season. And there is someone in the chat room with the title Fan of Wonderland. So I guess it's a fan of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, who tells us that one of the main characters of that show, that spin-off show, is going to be a regular on season 4 of Once Upon a Time. So that seems to indicate that there already is a green-lit season 4, but I haven't read that yet. So we'll have to wait and see. But I guess from what I've heard, the viewership is picking up a lot on Once Upon a Time. And it was already doing way better than Once Upon a Time in Wonderland. So I would not be surprised if we get a fourth season. I wouldn't have said this a few months ago because the first half of the season wasn't that good. But this part of the season, I really like it so far. They seem to know what they're doing. Anyway, back to this episode. Wicket is trying to summon the Dark One, but the dagger doesn't really work. And she says, well, the Dark One has broken free, but knows too much. So that's interesting. And I was a bit confused by it as well, because later on she's using the dagger to submit Rumpel, or she's trying to. So
I think the dagger doesn't work if Neil is on and Rumpel is off. And if they switch, then the dagger works.
Right.
Oh,
right. And clearly
that could explain
it. The end after they've been separated. But as long as Neil is inside Rumpel's head, she can't control the Dark One because there's two people in there and she can't control Neil.
Okay.
So when he lets Neil be the dominant, it doesn't work.
So they can't be online both at the same time. They basically have to unplug Rumpel and then hook up Neil to reality.
That's why I went back
reality.
And watched it a second time. Because once I saw the ending, I wanted to go back and see if they'd ever had the two of them doing anything at the same time that would have been an incontinuity. And they didn't. They talked a lot, when they met at Granny's Diner, they talked about how desperate Neil was to find a way to return to this world.
Yeah.
And that he thought bringing his father back was the key.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's talking about how the Dark One has broken free and knows too much. And then that's Enchanted Forest. Then they're talking about when they find Neil, when Neil finally breaks through into the gold shop.
Yeah.
And Belle says she thinks it's Rumpel when he first breaks in.
Yes.
But at no time did they have Rumpel and Neil showing up at the same time.
That's a good
one. Got a little confusing going back and forth with the flashbacks to the Enchanted Forest.
Yes. Yeah. Also, because a lot of the settings are the same. You see people walking in the forest, and then you switch to another part of the forest and people walking, and you really have to take a look and say, what kind of clothes are they wearing? Oh, this must be the Enchanted Forest. And yeah, it got confusing, especially because Neil is in both the flashback and present day storybook.
Right. So. Right. And one time I looked up and there was snow on the ground. I thought, well, how did they go from no snow to snow?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, we're in the Enchanted Forest.
Actually, I think they used that. They used the snow to visually differentiate between the two time zones, I guess. Because you can't always, you know, put the 1 year before on the screen. But it got a bit confusing. That was one of the weaker points, I thought, of the way this episode was constructed. It was a bit confusing. And then with the whole switcheroo thing going on with Neil and Rumble, you know, I really had to sit back and think, so wait, hold on, what? What's going on?
And Zelina again mentioned that they were desperate. And that's what made me think of Desperate Souls, the episode.
Oh, good one.
She said that they were desperate to bring back their Rumble. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Lumiere said that. And then she said, not only desperate, they're blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there was the blind seer. And it just, all these little things just kept pricking in my head.
Absolutely. There was also the necklace. Have we seen that before? That I think
that's
Neil
Emma Swan
has?
Necklace that Neil gave her.
Oh, okay.
In the Tallahassee episode.
Oh, right. I remember. Yeah, I vaguely remember. But it survived the trip to the Enchanted Forest because it was born out of true love. So apparently you can bring stuff back and forth as long as there's love carrying it. And of course, the necklace comes back to Emma at the end of the episode when Neil dies. So it's kind of a symbol of, here's my love for you, blah, blah, blah. And then we see Lumiere. Hello there. The dining room very proudly presents me. And I really like that whole moment. I was still wondering, so what are we going to see now? Is he going to break into a song? is there going to be a meal? And it turns out that he's actually working for the Wicked Witch, and that it was she who imprisoned him in the candle holder. And he wants to, of course, return to life, and that's why he helps her. But there is still good in him, as Luke Skywalker would say.
Did you like the conversation between Belle and Neil when they're looking around and they talk about still believing and loving Rumple?
Yeah.
When he says, you really believe in him, don't you? And she says, I love him.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of him, even the parts that belong to the darkness.
Now, that's great. That's the unconditional love that actually has redeemed Rumple in the past, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was that sacrifice that he had made. And they mentioned it again. And three times they mentioned the sacrifice that Rumple made. And so that's when I knew, oh, no, something's going to happen.
Oh, okay.
And I do have to say the archivist in me loves that she knew where they could find everything they need. And she took him to the library.
Yes. Yes.
And he said, is there magic in here? And she goes, no, it's better than magic.
Something better, yeah.
Science, that's what Dr. Will would say.
Books on history, witchcraft.
Yeah, it's very educational here. This is a nudge. Parents can use this to coerce their children into reading more.
And there was a good balance. They're looking up books in the Enchanted Forest. Then they're looking up books at Storybrooke. And Hook said he'd stay behind and protect Belle. And she's like, how many times have you tried to kill me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I laughed out loud when she said that.
And then Neil, of course, is now back in Storybrooke, doesn't remember anything, has that scar on his hand, which reminded me of, is it Indiana Jones 2 with the Nazi guy?
The first one.
Oh, it's the first one? I don't know if it was an homage, but it definitely was. It looked very painful. So you know that you're going to see something. I thought actually that he had been tortured by the Wicked Witch and that it was some kind of like esoteric sign, but no, it was just a key to the vault. But the thing that drives Neil here is he wants to see Henry. He wants to see his son, and it's something we also see in the Enchanted Forest, you know. Something he actually recognizes in his father, as much as Rumple has wanted to see Neil again, that's how much Neil wants to go back to Storybrooke and see Henry again. But what he doesn't know is, of course, that Henry doesn't have his memories. And so Emma tells him, you know, he just knows my stories. And so, and actually Henry's happy and, you know, and, but Neil is like, but I'm his father. I want to know him. And it's still driven by his own need. And it's at the end of the episode that he switches perspective and is like, well, you know, I just want you to be happy, and I want Henry to be happy. So perhaps this is for the best. But it's kind of bittersweet. It's like, yeah, it's a sacrifice, but doesn't he deserve better? Neil has been such a good guy. So, yeah, kind of feel like there's some unresolved justice here that I don't like. So perhaps they'll bring him back. I hope so. Also for Henry, because poor Henry. He now the only thing he knows and remembers is, well, what his mom has always told him about his father. And then in the park that his mom says something a little bit incoherent about his father still being a hero. But of course, for Henry, that's not much to go on.
Yeah,
it's the same story. Sorry, ahead.
I was thinking there may be a way to jog Henry's memory. And this is something we haven't seen the entire second half of the season yet. That's his Once Upon a Time book.
Oh.
It should be here, because when at the end of the last season, of the last half of the season's finale,
mm-hmm.
we saw that Storybrooke was dissolving,
mm-hmm.
but the book remained.
Yes, true.
So the book must be somewhere there. So if the book remains and Henry gets it, would that jog his memory?
That's a good point. It could be the thing that triggers everything. Huh? Even break the spell in a certain way.
Yeah, maybe it was in his room,
at
the mayor's house. So he
needs to get his memory back, but I think they will let us wait for quite a while, because it's so nice to have the opposite situation where he is kind of the normal, you know, rational guy, and now his mom is the believer. Like I hope that they're gonna play that out a little bit more. And that somehow he also has to put some effort into regaining his memory. And of course, there needs to be a reason for that as well.
Did you happen to notice that when she tells him, the one thing I need you to know about him is he was a hero?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same story that she gave him when she was trying not to tell him about that his father had abandoned him. Had abandoned her.
Okay.
She told him that he had been a firefighter.
True.
And died as a hero.
Wow.
So there's a lot of parallels.
Nice. I'm so glad you noticed all that, because you're totally right. There is some really good writing here.
The one-liners were everywhere in this episode.
Yeah.
And the colors and the costumes again. Did you notice that Snow White is in blue and pink, the baby colors?
Ah, nice.
They don't even match. She's in that baby blue dress with the little pink baby pink sweater.
So they're actually hinting at, we don't know yet if it's a boy or a girl.
And Zelina was in that very severe black suit with the green gem, and to me it looked like the Wicked logo.
Okay.
But I don't. But like I said, I'm not. Sorry, Deborah's not here, because I don't know Wicked very well. But.
Well, I also noticed that she has a kind of a very particular accent. I was wondering where that's from. It's not really.
It's the actress.
American.
No, it's just British, I think. It's the same actress. She was on Lost as well, and that's also what's bugging me all the time, because it's like, you're that girl from Lost. You're not Wicked. I don't know, just because she has such a recognizable voice and a very her eyes are very kind of staring and piercing, which kind of work here. It makes her a little bit creepy. Go ahead.
Did you notice the way she looked at Snow when she drank the orange juice?
Well, yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about. Is that was the creepiest scene. It's like, orange juice. Oh, there's got to be something in the orange juice. and Snow is right. Completely trusting her. Go ahead, David.
No, but it's just kind of she just does this because she's Snow White, but she just has a track record of trusting everyone over and over again.
Yeah.
I just want to close my eyes and like, oh no, oh no, oh no, what's going to happen now?
But Zelina said she knew Joanna. Joanna, her own nursemaid when she was a little girl.
Uh-huh.
So if she knew Joanna, then that's kind of like the, you know, the golden key for Snow. I mean, oh, well, everything's okay if you knew her.
Right, right.
But I did not recognize the label on the orange juice, and so I wondered if there was some meaning to it. But I didn't know. Is that a Lost reference, Andana?
How do you spell that? Andana?
A-N-D-A-N-A.
Andana. I don't know. Let me just quickly Google that. It could be, but I don't remember orange juice from Lost.
No, I just didn't know. And orange juice is what you drink at the doctor's office when you're pregnant and the baby's not been moving. They always tell you to drink orange juice.
Is that so?
Because the sugar. Yes, the sugar makes the baby move.
Oh, really? That was what I was going to ask the parents, you know, on our panel. Is like, is that for real or is that just some magical thing that they made up?
I heard of that. We hadn't had to do that with Vivi, but that was one of the things that they were in the pamphlets.
And it truly works?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. And it's the sugar that does that.
Yeah, the baby gets a sugar kick, so then it's, you know, if
but
you
that,
are super
that
high.
But that quickly? I mean, it's because it was like she was drinking it, and 2 seconds later, the baby moved. That
it
seems
may not
to
be that fast. It might be a minute or two.
Oh, wow. Well,
it's shortened for, time effect in the story, but yeah.
Okay.
Kick.
Fascinating. I cannot find anything about the orange juice, actually. And then orange juice, no. It's just mentioned on a lot of blogs about Once Upon a Time, but
because they showed the label so clearly, I thought either it was product placement or it means something, and I didn't know.
I can't find it on Google, so
no, I don't think it exists. Might could it be Canadian? No, even then it would be online.
We'll just have to keep an eye out for something later.
Yeah, perhaps it's something that comes back, but I also was very suspicious of the orange juice, is like, especially because Zelina is looking at Snow, is like, yeah, go ahead, drink it, and I was like, there's probably something in there, but
I wondered the same thing.
I don't think there is, or perhaps Zelina wanted to, just to make sure that the baby was still there, or I don't know. It was a weird moment. Then we get the whole Robin Hood Emma scene, or basically that's the first time that they meet in Storybrooke. It was pretty cool. Regina catching the arrow shot by Robin Hood. Robin Hood is the guy who never misses, right? And she just like plucks it out of the air. That was very, very cool.
Well, he used a crossbow, and it was the bow that never misses, not the arrow.
Oh, okay. But it was very cool to see that whole thing. Like, Regina, have we met before? No, I would remember. And then they try to find traces of the evil witch, and Regina is like, you know, it takes a very evil witch to find traces of an evil witch. And then there is definitely chemistry, and Hood is like, getting all up close and personal, takes the magic potion that turns out to be whiskey and then offers her a drink. And that's when Regina sees the mark and everything comes back to her. And she walks away. She runs away confused and upset.
And she saw him.
It didn't. I mean, all her memories from the last year didn't come back to her, but that prophecy came back and she just ran like a... She just ran. That was... Did not... See, did not expect her to freak out that much.
Yeah, but I found Robin Hood kind of stalkery, like creepy. I would have whacked him in the face if a guy just had like me to me, like getting in your personal space and being all kinds of suspicious. So I can totally understand why she's running away.
Oh no, I loved it because the way they met, they're, you know, tossing the labels around and show yourself, you winged freak. I love the dialogue. But that's kind of like when they went under the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I don't remember asking for a partner. Well, yeah, got one. And
yes.
But him getting up and close and personal, she hasn't had an emotional relationship with another person since oh gosh, the stable boy, mm-hmm. whose name all of a sudden I've forgotten. But
Daniel.
Daniel, thank you. So she hasn't had that. I mean, that's been, what, 40 years now? We're talking a very long time to not have any emotional connection with another person. I mean, she had the huntsman, but that was without his heart. That was a forced incident. And so it terrified her. And she saw it. He was holding the drink, handing it out to her. And when Tink showed her who her true love was, he was in a bar holding a drink.
Yes.
So it was a very similar moment.
And she was scared there too. She didn't want to commit. So it's the same thing. It's like, right. Oh no.
So she might have been all emotionally, you know, charged and enjoying the repartee between them. But the minute she realized who he was.
Yes. That's boom. Where she realized this is for real. He's making a move.
Then at the end when she watches him playing with his young son.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Very emotional. I thought that the whole ending was very emotional, very, very good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody goes and hugs their children because of, you know, the whole Rumpel and Neil thing. Makes people realize how much their children matter to them. And Regina, of course, is still being estranged from Henry and not having that relationship anymore. I mean, it hurts her even more. And it so, yeah, I thought it was... I also love the pacing of that last part of the episode, where you get a lot of music and you see a lot of emotion and tears. And I think it truly... That's where I thought the episode really shined. Or shown, sorry.
that sad, lost look on Emma's face at the end to me was just like, ooh, perfect.
It's great. Yeah. I still feel that something was reshot there, or it was shot at different times, because Regina at the beginning of the episode seems to have a very bad cold. Her voice is different, and she seems to be very sick. And it just... disappears and appears. So I've got the feeling that this episode was shot over a long time and they did either pick up shoots or I don't know what happened, but I thought that the final part of the episode totally worked and it was brilliant acting and the rest was kind of patched together and I don't know, something was going on there.
I also loved the remark that Neil made about when he opened the vault.
Mm-hmm.
But my father isn't the dark one, he's the king of loopholes.
Oh, cool. I missed that.
About Belle does not want him to open that vault.
Yeah.
She's like, nope, nope, nope. As soon as she knows that, figures it out, Lumiere's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, nope, don't you do it, don't do it. He did not sacrifice his life for good, so he could be a slave to evil. And yet that's what we're at the end.
Yes.
She controls him.
Yes.
So think what she could do if the Dark One was under her control. That's exactly what we said in Desperate Souls. We said, oh my gosh, what if Regina got a hold of that dagger?
Exactly. Oh. And now it's someone worse than Regina. But it's
I also love that what Robin Hood said. Well, from this angle you look ferocious, the terrible queen, but not evil.
Bold and audacious.
Yeah.
I'm like, what angle? Oh, never mind.
And he's wearing that earthy green, not the witch green, which is very vibrant. Mm-hmm. He's wearing this really nice earthy green, and she's in blue, that blue that represents goodness and magic, goodness. I mean, in the first season, the purple was her magic, her curse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now everything is very vibrant green. I notice it now everywhere. Yeah. It's in when they storm the bathroom, it's... All of a sudden, there's all these little green objects in the apartment.
The
grass is coming in green all throughout Storybrooke. And it's like they've heightened it somehow or made it stand out better.
Oh, they can, of course, in post-production.
The
stove
in the kitchen, in the farmhouse, is green.
Okay. Wow.
And I also think they repainted the back, the rooms in Granny's Diner, because those walls are bright green as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it could just be... You know, they did some color post-processing just to highlight it a little bit more. I'm not sure if they would repaint an entire set. But it was always gray in Granny's. But now, there's definitely more. There's more
but
green.
That jewel that Zelina wears, is that connected to her power? Because that's what she took from the other world. So I was wondering, Why is she always wearing that? What is it? Brooch?
A brooch.
A brooch. Yeah. Yeah.
So is there something up to with the brooch? That's.
Well, it's clearly something of the Emerald City. It's a gem. So I don't know. It just looks like decoration to me. I'm not sure if it has any power.
I was wondering if it's like the Rumpel's dagger. So if you separate the brooch from the brooch from the evil witch,
I'm not sure.
I like that idea. That
because
be.
It's so in your face showing there.
True, but we never see her use it in any way. It's just something that holds
but
her.
Rumpel doesn't use his dagger either most of the time.
That's true. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But I think it's just like a visual highlight. So that once they do realize that Zelina is the Wicked Witch, there's like, duh, it was right in our face, the green gem. Why didn't we know this? Yeah.
I was a little disappointed that it wasn't creatures. It was that black liquid crude oil that came out of the Dark One vault.
Uh-huh.
When he puts the key into it. And there was my daughter's Aztec circle. The key was the triangle. Yeah. I don't know if there was a symbolism to the triangle, the three
Isn't
sides.
Isn't that the all-seeing eye?
That's what I thought of, but I wasn't sure.
I mean, it's also
so
used
it, like,
for the Trinity.
Fills up with that liquid oil darkness.
Yeah, it's just very, it reminded me of the dark oil in the X-Files, and where have we seen it before? Oh, there's now the new series with Ronald D. Moore, Helix, where all the zombie-like creatures are oozing that same black oil. I was like, there's got to be a discount on the software package that they used for that oil. But I thought it looked pretty cool, and there was this kind of this emergence of this black oily thing. You're not sure it's Rumpel, and but the whole location, the vault. I think wasn't it said that was the origin of the original Dark One, where the first Dark One was born?
Yes, they did say that.
It's kind of scary that in the middle of the forest there is this. It almost felt like an entrance to the underworld, to another reality.
The book that she pulls out when Lumiere tells them there's a volume befitting the Dark One, it has the same markings on the book as on the side of the dagger.
Oh, wow.
And then she says it's the key to the vault of the Dark One where the first Dark One was made, born out of the darkness.
Yes.
So.
Well, the black goo definitely is the kind of the symbol of that darkness, but it feels so strange that all of a sudden, and nobody knew about that apparently.
Witch did, because she put it there for Lumiere to lead them to it so that they would resurrect Rumpel, because he can do something that she can't. So there he sacrificed himself. Sacrifice, we talk about whether maybe he killed the Dark One and Rumpel would be back, or whether he killed Gold. And unfortunately, it looks like it killed Gold and the Dark One came back. Or they're back together. It was almost too easy that he could just resurrect his father. And then, of course, in Desperate Souls, Mr. Gold says he likes the fine points of a deal because he, made a deal he didn't understand. And here, Neil makes a deal he didn't understand.
Yes.
But
yes.
If you're exposed to the Dark One for such a long time, you always know that magic comes with a price.
Sure, yes.
So, and Belle knows that, because that's why I think she's like, okay, something is fishy here. Don't do it.
Just read the fine print first. It's exactly what the Wicked Witch says at the beginning. It's like, these people are desperate, and that makes them blind. And I think Neil here is completely blind to the possible costs or consequences of what he does. He just wants his father back, and that's why he does it, and he doesn't care.
And Rumpel was completely desperate and willing to do anything to keep Bay from going to the Ogre Wars and being killed.
Yeah.
So there was that symbol.
Now explain
to me. And he couldn't learn from his father's mistakes. Did you notice Zelina when she shows up?
Yeah.
She kind of appears magically in smoke that's whirling like a tornado, like a little mini.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Little odds reference again.
Yep. And Rumpel says, you didn't tell him the price. And she's all like, oops. a sin of omission, love. You're like, yes. Oh.
She's evil. But I've only seen the episode once, but I still struggle to understand what was truly going on. So the price was, if you resurrect Rumpel, then the one who opens the vault has to die, right?
Yes, a life for a life.
So
it's the same as the candle, but then, running the candle over Korra.
Sure.
You had to trade a life for a life.
I understand. I understand. But then Neil is back in Storybrooke 1 year later, so he hasn't died yet. What's going on?
No, he's inside Rumpel.
Huh?
Go ahead, David. You do it.
Well, since he merged with the Dark One, Gold merged him with Rumpel, merged Neil into his, took him into his body.
Yeah.
He can't die. It's like a, I guess, life support system, for lack of a better term.
So he that was Rumpel him. Doing that. So Rumpel
absorbed him into himself.
And
that's why he was going. And that's why he was going bonkers, because. He has two different minds trying to fight for dominance and can't reconcile it.
That makes sense. That
and
makes
he didn't
sense.
Even hesitate throwing that dagger. She says, right. "You can't hang on to both of them."
Mm-hmm.
And he just
fine.
Threw
yeah,
the dagger.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, "I didn't think you had it in you. You've got your son, but you've lost yourself. Your madness is your burden, not mine."
Yeah.
I did like the point where the dagger, the summoning the dagger didn't work as long as, or at least it didn't work, or it didn't work very well whenever Neil was, as long as Neil was merged with him. So it's kind of interesting, because mm-hmm. you can't control the Dark One, but it can't control Neil, and they're both there in the same body.
So it's almost like there's the Dark One, there's Mr. Gold, and there's Neil. So there, because Gold has two sides. So yeah, it should. It has been crowded in there. You know what? This also, I'm suddenly thinking of this. This also makes me think a lot of, I'm not sure if you've seen that, Spider-Man 2, I think, with the Venom. And there's this black goo as well. And that particular movie seems to also indicate that there's like a dark version of Spider-Man, and it's all evil. And then you've got the real Spider-Man.
I think that was 3, where
it was 3. You know,
the good, I'm gonna admit full nerd credit on that one. That was number 3, and then at first it brought out the darkness in Peter, and then it brought out the darkness in the Eddie Brock.
Right. So and that's the same thing with the goo kind of being the symbol of pure evil corrupting people, and then they have to kind of fight to separate. And well, that's what happens here, and Neil unfortunately dies. But it is all as a sacrifice to make sure that Rumpel can go after the Wicked Witch, and of course that is a huge responsibility now for Rumpel. He seems to be kind of, I was very surprised by that scene where he's sitting at the foot of, his son who just died, and then the Wicked Witch appears. And almost seems to want to step on Neil's head. Did you notice that? That was just horrible. And the thing she says, and yet Rumpel seems to just sit there and let it happen. And
she has a dagger, so he cannot do anything against her.
Right.
Okay. It's still, you would expect some anger or some rage or whatever, but there's nothing. So it's
he can't. He can't. He's completely controlled. Oh. She says, "Go back to your cage," and he just. Gets up and
So he's like a dog now. Oh, jeez.
Yes, and that's what she says. She has his brain. She controls him.
But
there was the brain.
I mean, so why did Neil give his life? I mean, he had to, but it still didn't really solve anything, did it?
Yes, it did. Because Rumpel came, was Mr. Gold again, so he could tell David, I think, that the Wicked Witch is Zelina. So they run as fast as they can to Snow White, because they know that the midwife, Zelina, is after Snow's baby. And I think David even wants to get a hold of Regina to cast a protection spell around the house.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so
he even said, my son may be gone, but he gave his life so I could tell the Savior who you really are.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. So
I like the fact that she's still considered the Savior, even though she broke the original curse, a couple seasons ago. But she's still, it's still, I mean, it's still all She still recognizes it as the savior throughout this whole story.
Yeah.
And she said, so now it's all over. They know who you are. Rumpel says, they know who you are. You'll never get close to Snow's baby now, to whatever mm-hmm. your unholy desires are.
Yeah.
And she says, they may know who I am, but it doesn't matter as long as I have your beautiful brain.
Oh.
And I was like, dude, that's just creepy.
So perhaps Rumpel is going to be the one who steals the baby when it's born. Something like that.
Yeah, but everybody knows now that Rumpel is being controlled by
Jaeve. Complicated. But Rumpel is very good at finding all sorts of tricks to manipulate people. So having his brain is definitely an asset. It's a weapon for Selina.
Yeah, I can comment on that, but that is about the next trailer.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about spoilers yet. So the ending, it's all, emotion and reconciliation with the kids and Regina seeing Robin Hood with his kid, which I think is also probably something that is bringing her closer to Robin Hood, because she's still very far away from Henry. Then you have Emma and Henry. I also really like the whole reconciliation before Neil dies between Neil and Rumpel, and just the expression of their mutual love. I thought it was a beautiful end of that whole story arc. Just so sad that it's truly the end as far as the way they tell it. And then Wicked, I truly hate her guts right now. Just because in all that beauty and all that love that you see at the end of the episode, there is only one person who is cold as ice, and that is Wicked. And you're just like, wow, how can someone be so evil that she must have been hurt so much? And is there redemption possible for her? And how are they going to weave that into the story? Is there going to be redemption? We've always wondered about every single character in the series. How is that person going to find redemption? For some, it was very easy. For Regina, it was much more unlikely, but look how far she has come. And I guess Cora, has she truly? No, she has not been redeemed, right? She was just killed. But
when she was killed, they put the heart back in her.
Oh,
and she
true.
Looked with love on Regina and said it would have been enough.
Yeah. So that was also kind of a good way to end that story arc. So I'm wondering, in order to make the Wicked Witch and / Selina more than just a prototypical bad witch or an evil person, they need to somehow develop her character, and perhaps the baby will do that. Perhaps the only thing she thinks of is stealing the baby, to avenge her own kind of lost childhood, and the fact that she has that baby later on will be something that will convert her, and will change her life, and will turn her to the light.
We won't know until they reveal her backstory and we find out what really truly caused this animosity, this jealousy, this mm-hmm. vengeance.
Yeah, and I also have a feeling that this new baby will be the new savior for her.
Perhaps, but then they need a lot of seasons to make that happen, because if there's just a baby and you have to wait for it to grow up.
Maybe you don't have to. Maybe the baby...
The baby will save everyone...
I don't know how.
Regardless,
true love.
Yeah. Are we already
Tallahassee? We haven't gotten to Tallahassee yet, have we?
No.
No.
All the references back to that episode.
Oh, really?
The closing of Neil and Emma's relationship together.
Hmm.
Because, to me, one of the most emotional moments between Neil and Emma was when they rediscovered each other in Manhattan, the episode Manhattan.
Yeah.
When she went there and found out that Gold's son was Neil.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're together and they're talking to each other about living in New York and Henry loves the pizza and, we did all these normal things. And he's like, well, were you lonely? Well, Henry had tons of friends, and I had someone. I'm sorry. Well, was it serious?
A winged monkey.
He turned into a flying monkey. They laugh, and it's a genuine fun laughter between them. And then I love this line. She says, "I almost married a monster from Oz." And he's like, "Hey, I almost married a minion of my evil grandfather, Peter Pan." And he says to them, "We never found Tallahassee." And I really felt like that was a nod to all of the fans that really loved the Neil and Emma relationship. You know, the we never found. Because if you remember from that episode in Tallahassee, you see a very young Emma. And you don't know then. But she says, or no, he says to her, "You know, we've been on the road long enough. Maybe it's time we retire that Bonnie and Clyde act." And she says, "You mean together?" And he's like, "Do you wanna?" She's like, "Well, where? Neverland?" And he says, "No, I'm serious. We could do this." She's like, "Where?" And then they close their eyes and they point to the map, and it's Tallahassee.
Oh,
and that's how they're going to – that's how they picked Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
So to them, Tallahassee always represented that home that neither one of them had together with someone that they love.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy ever after.
Yeah.
Right. It's their happy ending. So he's telling her, "We'd never found our happy ending." And then when he actually dies practically in her arms there, he says, "Here's your necklace. Mm-hmm. Take it and go find Tallahassee."
Yeah.
"Even if it's without me." And that's where I lost it. I was like, they're really gonna, okay, go Hook. But oh man.
No, I still feel that Neil somehow has to come back and end up in Tallahassee at the end of the entire, you know, run of the show. There is justice to be had. And it shouldn't be Hook. I mean, he's a nice guy, but no.
I don't know. It's not always that nice and neat and perfect. You know, you got to go where the...
I know, but this show is all about happy endings, and that true love is ultimately the happiness that everybody is after. And, you know, he gives his life out of true love, sacrificial love. There's got to be a reward for that. I want to just see that being rewarded.
But your happy ending isn't always what you think it's going to be. They've said that multiple times on the show.
I know, but, you know...
And she didn't kiss him.
I can hope. I know, but she's just getting over the flying monkey.
No, I don't think they bring Neil back. It seemed, it seemed that this story arc has closed.
He had to make the sacrifice. It's the parallel. It's the ultimate parallel that he had to make the sacrifice to save his own son. Where Rumple, it took him how many hundreds of years to learn it, and Neil learned it by watching his own father do it. You, Papa, you showed me how to make this true sacrifice to give myself for something bigger, for my love for my son, to save him, to protect him. I'm letting myself die so that you will have your brain and you can tell them it's Zelina and you can tell them how to defeat her. What does she want? And then, of course, we'll have the rest of the season for Rumple to figure that out. Someone's going to have to battle Zelina. Somehow they're going to have to get this dagger from her. But it was good. It was emotional.
Yeah. And Kate in the chat room says that the makers of the series have confirmed, and actually actor as well, that Neil is truly dead. So he's not coming back. Perhaps they can do the way they ended Lost. I won't spoil it, but Lost, if you haven't seen the series, you have to, because it's so great. But in the final episode, a lot of people return. They found a way to do that, and so I don't know.
Perhaps, so there's a history with these writers. Okay.
Might be too cheesy for Once Upon a Time to repeat that.
There's another great comment in the chat room, Father. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw it. It's from Ender Willits, and he says that the reward is heaven.
As a Catholic priest, I would say sure. Within the context of the story, I'm not sure if that's part of the scope of this. You know, this fairy tale, but sure, that there is justice in heaven, definitely, even if you can't find it here on Earth. So perhaps somehow they will symbolize that. I don't know. Also, Kate in the chat room says they wrap up filming the season tomorrow. We're recording this on the 2nd of April. So apparently tomorrow they're going to finish filming everything. And Ginny is due on Friday. According to what she told some of the fans. So, wow, that is good timing. I wonder if she's even in the finale, if that's the case, you know, if you're like a few days before delivery, would you be in the final episode? I don't know.
Well, let's hope they don't try to use CGI for that. That's not going to work out very well.
Probably not a good idea.
My mom was out swimming with me the day before she gave birth to my brother, so
you never
know. Oh,
really? Gosh. Anyway, I think it is time to look ahead at the next episode, and so we're going to say goodbye to all of you who don't want to hear the very few spoilers that might be mentioned here. Thank you for listening. Check out our website, onceuponatime.sqpn.com. That's where you find this episode, future episodes, and previous episodes, as well as the link to the RSS feed if you want to subscribe to this show instead of listening to it online. There is this whole technology called podcasting, and automatically it will deliver new episodes to your mobile device or to your computer. It's really convenient. And, of course, also on the website, you find the show notes and the links and where you can find the individual members of the panel on Facebook and Twitter, etc., etc. So thanks for listening. And now we're going to watch the trailer. And I'm just going to play it from YouTube this time because I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet. Let's see. IMDb TV.
A tornado has been brewing. And next Sunday...
Meet me on Main Street tonight. Say, sundown.
The showdown...
Out of my way, munchkin.
...is finally here.
This isn't the Wild West. It's the Wicked West.
Whoa. Once Upon a Time, next Sunday, 8, 7 Central on ABC. And see full episodes anytime on Watch ABC and ABC On Demand.
Holy moly, they destroy the clock. Fantastic. And I love the whole cheesy Western music in the background. So it's Regina versus the Wicked Witch. How cool. It almost seems a bit too early for a confrontation like that, don't you think?
Yeah, but everybody knows who Zelina is now. So yeah. You have to pay it off in the next episode. There's
I understand, no other way. But I wonder where they can go from there, because we still have a number of episodes to go. So this is not yet time for the finale.
I have a theory.
Yeah, go ahead.
I didn't want to say it before the trailer. But so we have seen Emma use her magic out of the blue. So what if... Emma is using her magic to help Regina, because as far as I can see, is the Wicked Witch is stronger with her magic than Regina.
Okay.
Well, and keep in mind too that we know the big reveal. We know the familial relationship because it was revealed in Enchanted Forest. Regina, Emma, Snow. Nobody knows yet about the relationship between Zelina and Regina. So we're going to have it out. I mean, we even had, back in first season, we had Emma and Regina, remember, where she's taking down the tree or she's picking the apples and she's got that chainsaw. You want to see what I can do with a tree? So I was excited. I like the whole Wild West theme with the gloves and there's a tornado brewing.
Yeah, that's cool.
they're going right there with it. So we're going to have to expose the characters here and let's start moving the story along. They're going to have to start figuring things out. They can't just stay stagnant. So I'm excited.
I think story-wise, what I would do, but of course I'm not one of the writers, I would definitely make sure that all hope seems lost. And so I think Regina should lose here.
Yeah, I think she loses.
And then, of course, Robin Hood becomes... the savior for Regina. He wants her back, and so he probably will get a bigger role. But something needs to happen, and because then you would have Rumpel, who is now, you know, a slave to the Wicked Witch. Somehow Regina is impaired, and so who else can save the day? Well, perhaps Emma or Henry.
Well, here's a question. Most of these previews, most of what they show or that they reveal, tend to happen in the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Yep.
So if there's some sort of downtown showdown, it's going to be early on in the episode. There's going to be a lot of show behind it. So maybe it's just setting up something. What could Regina lose against Zelina?
I've theorized that on Facebook. In the last episode, when I wasn't there, Deborah mentioned that in the novel Wicked, the Wicked Witch runs off with the boyfriend of the fiancé of the Good Witch.
Oh.
So the Good Witch is Regina. Uh-huh. And she kind of got a boyfriend this episode.
Right.
So
perhaps Selena is going to do something to Robin Hood.
Yeah.
That's another option. Although I think I would personally prefer Regina being kind of out of the picture and giving Robin Hood a little bit more of a heroic role, because he still needs to prove himself to Regina. Whereas we already have seen Regina so often as, you know, the one who is in control and who's always fighting. And I kind of, I don't know. There appears to be also a Canadian version of the trailer, which shows a few different scenes. I'm going to play that one as well. Kate in the chat room says there is a little reveal in that one. So I hope this is the Canadian trailer. I'm not sure.
A tornado has been brewing. And next Sunday...
This is the same one. Oh, it's probably just in the same... this is a very long video, and so they have patched together different versions. Let me see if I can find that one.
Same clips, different order, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I see the same trailer three or four times.
But... Some sites do that, and they have a long... You think that's a long video, and then they copy the same trailer three times.
Yeah, I see it. Oh, well, that's gonna take too much time. I don't want to replay the same trailer over and over again. I guess we'll have to wait and see next week what will happen. But thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Let us know your feedback and things we missed via our Facebook page. It's, I don't even know, facebook.com/onceuponatime? No. What's the address of the website? Do you know that, Inge?
I'm looking it up as we speak.
It's Once Upon a Time Secrets on Facebook. And you can also find us on Twitter. Just check out the show notes at onceuponatime.sqpn.com. Take care and see you next week.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.